Welcome to another episode of the Ignited Entrepreneurs Podcast. I'm Jessica, your host, and I invite you to join in and listen to a conversation with an amazing entrepreneur who has leaned into their passion and is igniting their life and the life of others. Welcome to another episode of Ignited Entrepreneurs. Today I have Nabila Bimji. She's a certified holistic nutritionist, mind-body coach, food psychology coach, and life and confidence coach. And her company is Mindful Nourishment. Nabila, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited. We've been trying to do this for a little while.
Yeah, I'm glad that we finally managed to find time to do it because I've been wanting to have this conversation with you for a while now. So. So Nabila, I know you. We belong to a co-work space together, and we've gotten to know each other a lot better the last little while. But for those people who don't know who you are, can you please tell everybody who you are and what you do?
Yeah, perfect. So I'm a certified holistic nutritionist. So what that means is I work with the whole entire body together, all the body systems, everything. Work synergistically together, where as opposed to if you went to a doctor or something, and if you had diabetes, they're only working on your diabetes. They're not taking your liver or your adrenals or anything into consideration. I also look at a person's lifestyle, their mindset, and what blocked emotions there may be hidden in their illness or past traumas that they haven't dealt with, if they are willing to go there with me. I am also certified with the Institute for the Psychology of Eating. So I'm also a food psychology coach and a mind body coach. And I also do life and confidence coaching.
Beautiful. So, okay. So tell me how you got to be here. What was the journey?
Yeah. And it's been quite the journey, a big 360. So I grew up being fascinated with nutrition and everything healthy. I remember seeing a picture in, I think it was Digest magazine, of a senior couple going for a run. And I'm like, that is going to be me when I'm older. I'm going to be super healthy. Reading all the nutritional magazines while everyone was reading Sweet Valley High, and really into it. But then as I got older and I became more aware of society and their expectations for how your body should look, and how everything was wrapped up in body image, that started to chip away at me. And then, you know, when you get to be a teenager or older, it just seems like a rite of passage that girls just sit there and talk and complain about their bodies and about dieting and stuff. So I started to fall into that loop. But then I also became part of the modeling and acting industry, sometimes in front of the camera, sometimes as an agent. And through that, I developed an eating disorder. So all the things that I valued about nutrition and I had learned had gone out the window, and I became very unhealthy. Not only was I not eating very much food, I also became addicted to ephedra, which was in a popular fat burning pill at the time. So what it does is it sped you up and made you so hyper. It was equivalent to taking the drug speed. And when I ate food, I was able to only eat two bites and feel full. So I had massive energy, but I wasn't eating. So that, you know, created a downward spiral, obviously, in your health and your adrenals that takes a long time to recover from. And I remember one day I was driving to an acting class and I was absolutely starving and feeling like I was about to pass out. Body was hurting. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. I gotta stop doing this to my body. I mean, is this all really worth it? I feel like crap. So I pulled over and went to eat and I ate a lot for the first time. And then I just had heard about a school called the Canadian School of Natural Nutrition that a lot of my friends had liked, because I was also working as a sales rep in a popular gym at that time. And so I looked into the school and I took the course, and it really reignited my passion for nutrition again. And I, you know, initially wanted something holistic for myself, because I still had the inclination that it's a whole mind, body, spirit endeavor, and I didn't want someone just to tell me what food to eat. I wanted to explore deeper. So taking that course made me realize my passion and that I wanted to help people. And there was a lot of unhealthy people out there, or people that were misinformed, or people that just had emotional stuff or poor body image issues, that I started getting more and more mad that society is trying to tell us that our worth is based on our body, which it isn't. And also, you can have someone who's a size 16 or 18 that's healthier than someone that's a size 2. So that myth about your body weight equaling how healthy you are, that's not true. There is no specific and proper definition anywhere of what weight equals what health in any literature. Nobody knows, right? So all that stuff started making me mad. Combined with my being repassionate about nutrition led me to open my company, Mindful Nourishment.
That's amazing. I love it. And yeah. I did not know any of those things about you. So I'm so glad that you were willing to come on the show and be vulnerable and share some of that.
Yeah.
So one of the things that you said that really stuck out to me was you were saying it was like a rite of passage for young girls to basically just complain about their bodies and start picking them apart. And, you know, but it's not just young girls. Like, I don't know that I've grown out of that and I'm 50.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, like this is something that we just seem to hang on to. And we, you know, even when we do look good, we still find something that makes us not feel good. And then there's that lack of confidence and just, oh, it's a spiral that we all just go through. And so how do we deal with that? Like, one of the things I saw on your website was that you help women take the pause button off their life. And I kind of feel like that's what you're talking about. It's like, stop waiting and enjoy your life, but use nutrition to help you do that rather than holding you back or making you feel like you can't have and can't enjoy food.
Exactly. So yeah, take the pause button off. How many times have you said, I'm not going to date until I lose weight. I'm not going to go for the job promotion until I lose weight. I'm not going to feel happy and healthy and sexy till I lose weight. Well, how about you act now how you would act if you were that weight you wanted? How about you just take that pressure off yourself? And I know it's really hard, but love yourself where you are, because you cannot hate yourself into a body shape or weight. If you are hating on yourself, you're stressing your body out and your mindset, and you will not lose weight in the long term if you're hating yourself into a body shape. That does not work. I've done it. I've seen other people do it. But miraculously, when you accept where you are, the weight loss becomes a little more effortless. It's still going to be work, but it's just a more peaceful journey and a learning journey when you do that.
Yeah, I love that. You cannot hate yourself into a body shape.
You can't.
Like that's a little bit mind-blowing for me right now, just the way that you put that. Because it's almost like that's what we think. Well, if I hate it enough and if I feel guilty when I eat, then somehow I'm doing something, right?
Yeah. And that mindset where, if I eat this, I'm going to have to do this much amount of exercise. I'm like, you can reset your health habits at your very next meal. And you're a human being and we're all going to screw up. and it's okay. It's okay. We can get you back on track.
Yeah. And I guess, like, again, back to the rite of passage thing, like this is the kind of stuff that's passed down to us generationally.
Yeah, absolutely.
And right. And it creates these internal patterns. So like, is that something that you help with as well, as like unblocking these patterns?
Because we are conditioned by society to always complain about our bodies. At least women are. I know men to some degree, but not quite as much as women. So I'm going to focus on women in this scenario, but we're conditioned that we have to always be upgrading, whether it's makeup or plastic surgery or your body. We are conditioned by society to not be complacent and to gather with your girlfriends and have I'm so fat. Or have you heard of the latest brow lifts? And it's where it's conditioned in us. And it's really funny that, it's almost like industry is wanting us to dumb down how powerful we are as women by making us take the focus off being leaders and putting the focus on our weight and how we look, because if we're obsessing about that, we're not out changing the world the way that feminine energy can do. Right?
Ooh, damn, I like that. Never thought of that before.
Right?
Okay, so now you and me, we're on a mission. We got to stop this shit.
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, forget it. We're going to be taking on the world. Forget about what size we're wearing when we do it, right?
Yeah, and I thought for the longest time this had to come externally. Like I had to go out and change the mind of men, right? And that they should be looking at us differently and not pressuring us so much. And I'm like, nothing's going to change when it comes internally and we lead and show people how we want to be treated. So we've got to love ourselves first, and we've got to realize ourselves first, and then train the rest of the world to fall in place.
And I'm kind of feeling like maybe it's the chicken and egg thing, right? Like we keep thinking, like you said, put the pause button on. Okay, when I get this size, then I can go do that. But I kind of feel like it really needs to be the other way around.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And the more I know for me, the more I'm happy with myself, the more likely I am to actually enjoy the foods that are going to make me feel better.
Yeah. And that's exactly it. I use the crowding out principle. So I don't tell people you can't eat sugar. I tell them things like, so why don't you add greens and salad to your every meal? So by telling them to add healthy stuff as opposed to taking stuff out, they naturally are starting to feel awesome and energetic, and the other stuff kind of goes to the wayside and they don't really crave it as much.
Sorry, did you call that the crowding out method?
That's what I call it. Because if you're adding more healthy stuff, but you're not telling them they're not allowed to have the bad stuff, allowed in quotes, then that stuff naturally goes away because they're feeling awesome with the good stuff and the superfoods that I tell them to eat.
That's a really amazing idea, I have to say, as I'm thinking about it right now.
Because
you're not restricting, right? You're not saying you cannot have this.
Well, I don't know. You might be like me. I'm really rebellious. And as soon as I'm told I'm not allowed to do something, even if it's for my good, that's all I can think about is doing the thing I'm not supposed to do.
What do they say? Don't think of a pink elephant. Well, now you're thinking of a pink elephant.
Now you're thinking about
right?
the pink so, elephant. You can't have that cupcake. All I want is that cupcake. What do you mean? I didn't want it until you
told me I couldn't have it.
Yeah. Now I want the whole dozen. Thanks a lot. Yeah, so something simple like just add greens to every single meal that you have, and just having that nutrient balance and the fullness and the fiber and all of that should start working and doing it. And then because then you'll be like dessert, maybe not today.
Awesome. I love that idea. So one of the other things that I wanted to ask you about, because I have no idea what these words mean, is macro and micronutrients.
So really easy. I just put it there to make myself sound super smart. It's macronutrients, carbs, fat, and protein, basically. And then your micronutrients are your vitamins and minerals.
Okay. See? Now I feel smarter all of a sudden.
See, you could be like, how's your macros today? People are like, what's a macro?
And it's funny because those seem to be buzzwords right now, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of like, oh, geez, I can't even keep up. Forget it.
Forget it.
So thank you for that. Now I don't feel like I'm as far behind as I thought I was.
I think you're in the same place as everyone. I think there's a lot of people maybe don't understand that term and maybe I should change it. It opens up a conversation, right?
Totally. Like it jumped out at me and I'm like, I got to ask, what the heck is this? So awesome. So now can we talk more again about, so I don't think anybody has gotten to adulthood without having some type of negative limiting belief, trauma, something that's created a block or a pattern for them that now we need to try to undo, that is more than likely causing us to overeat, emotionally eat, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
So how do we start to find that stuff out?
Yeah, it's really important to, how do you label food? Do you think food is evil? Do you label a food as good or bad? That's a clue there. It's the One of my teachers said at the Institute for the Psychology of Eating that it's the dose that's the poison. So it might not be the food itself, but it's how much of it you have and what you think about the food. One cookie is not going to destroy you. 20 will. And it's also if you keep thinking of food as evil, you're going to stress out your metabolism and not digest properly or assimilate properly, and you're just going to make yourself feel guilty. So first thing is, what do you view food as what it's supposed to be, which is fuel, or are you labeling it yourself as bad? That's the other thing, is that are you saying you're bad for eating the food? Well, that's got to change. You're not a bad person because you ate something that's supposed to be bad for you. The action you might consider was maybe not stellar, but you yourself are not bad for doing it. So you gotta get all the mindset stuff out of the way. I also have people do a journal where before they eat, they have to rate from a scale of 1 to 10 how hungry they were. And they also have to backtrack and see what the emotion was, based on what they're craving or what they're eating. Just before they went to eat, were they in some kind of stress mode? Did something trigger them? Did they have a fight? And that will help you sort of pick out the emotions that might be attached to what you're eating. Go back a step. What just happened? What happened before that? What happened before that? And try to trace what the trigger was if you're noticing that you're eating something at that time, but you're not really that hungry, or it was a craving for something. Just look back, go backwards and see if there was something that triggered you.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. One of the things that I know about myself is I have what I call the trifecta. It's like my butt hits the couch, the TV goes on, something needs to go in my mouth.
It's a
So
habit.
it's
It's a trigger
breaking those
habit.
habits. Yeah. So I love that you're suggesting that people actually stop and create that awareness so that they can choose to break those triggers if they want to, right?
And then more specifically, when you're working with me, I do have list of specific questions in different areas of your life that I go through to kind of pinpoint where the habit started or what the emotion is that they're using to cover up with their food. Sometimes it's even stuffing down of feelings because society told you to be something that you're not, and you need to go back to who you were before society told you who to be. Or you wanted a certain career and everyone said, you can't do that. So now to had that desire and those emotions, you're using food to stuff it down. That's really common.
Okay. So another topic that you deal with is food addiction. So, like, where's the definition or the line, or is there even a line?
Well, it's a compulsive eating to where you're thinking about that specific food all day, planning on how you can have that meal. You're not going out with your friends. You're hiding in your house because you don't want them to see you eating that food. So it's an obsession. You're thinking about the food all the time. How can you hide and eat it, and keep it a secret?
That makes sense. Okay. 'Cause I'm, yeah. Okay. Awesome. Yeah, 'cause that's the thing is it's like I wonder sometimes is, addiction can be thrown around really easily, right? And so I love to be able to at least clarify so that people can at least begin to get a feeling for what stage or what level of help maybe they need to deal with whatever it is that's going on for them. So
And then binging, the other side of it is not obviously not being able to stop eating it at a reasonable, I've had X amount of food. You just keep going till you're sick.
okay. So another question. I'm just going to keep asking you things that I don't understand because I'm guessing that I'm probably the average person out there, right? So can you tell me a little bit more about what adrenals are or adrenal fatigue? Because you've actually used the word a couple times. So what is our adrenals?
So the adrenals sit on top of our kidneys and in the back of our body, and they're responsible for our flight, fight, or freeze. A lot of people don't know that freeze is one of the responses to stress. So it helps us mobilize and get ready for a perceived threat, by releasing cortisol. However, we're not cavemen anymore. where if a saber-toothed tiger was chasing us, the parasympathetic nervous system would kick in and we wouldn't digest food or anything. It would just be to mobilize our muscles and our blood and to get us going. But then they would go to their cave and the parasympathetic nervous system would kick in and that would help them relax and let go. But now these days we're under stresses that never go away. Even if we don't think we're thinking about it, we're thinking about, oh, how am I going to pay my bills? Oh, my kids are doing this. Oh, I have to keep up with the Joneses. My health isn't that good. So we're chronically now in a state of stress without having the parasympathetic kick in and let us relax. So these daily things, they are not, you're meant to have the stressor and the stressor goes away and you're done. But we are constantly stressed. So it is destroying our adrenals, putting us our body in a constant state of stress. You know, then it can affect our hormones, our blood sugar, our energy level. So if you're tired but wired at night, so you're tired but you go to lay down and you can't sleep, and that's because you've got adrenal fatigue. If you're craving salt, you have adrenal fatigue. If you're sensitive to chemicals, you've got adrenal fatigue. If something minor, like you spilled your coffee, sets you in a tailspin and you're having an abnormal reaction to spilled coffee, that should be just like, oh shoot, I spilled coffee, clean it up, that sucks, let's move on. Then you've got adrenal fatigue if the littlest thing sets you off that shouldn't. So it's just an overstressing of your stress hormones that keep you from not having the energy you need. Right? You're needing coffee, more and more coffee all the time to keep your energy up because your body's not naturally keeping it up. It's tired. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you very much for that. Again, it's just not something I hear it all the time, but I've never done the research. I've never really, thought much more about it. So thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. And again, I'm hoping that I'm speaking for some of our listeners as well when I ask these questions, right?
Yeah, I mean, they say 85% of people have adrenal fatigue. I honestly think it's way higher. I think we all have a degree of it because we're all having a hard time letting go of that stress. I also feel like it's a disease of depletion because if you have adrenal fatigue, your vitamins and minerals are being used up faster than you can replace them. So you're depleted on that end as well. So depletion is huge with adrenal fatigue all around.
So on the topic of vitamins and minerals, I know that the ones that you just walk into the Shoppers Drug Mart and buy off the shelf, they're not really that great.
No.
Would you agree?
Yes.
Yes.
Don't kill me, so, people. Don't give us hate mail.
Sorry, I'm not setting you up. But this is what I've learned. So I'll take the heat on this one. But if somebody does recognize, say, okay, oh my goodness, I am overreacting to a spilt cup of coffee.
Yeah.
And okay, that means that my adrenals are probably out of whack, which means now that I'm burning through my vitamins and minerals and I'm not really eating food that has a lot of vitamins and minerals. Yeah. And, so is there any suggestions for where somebody could actually get decent absorbable vitamins and minerals for their body?
So generally speaking, a more reputable health food store like a Palm or like a Whole Foods are very picky about the product line they carry. They won't necessarily carry the mass produced cheaper forms. Also, you want to look at something that's called a whole food supplement. So rather than pulling vitamins from different foods, it's basically is the food. But I guess they dehydrate it. I don't know the science behind it, but they take whole foods and that's your vitamin or mineral. So whole foods, because your body recognizes it, obviously it recognizes it as food. So it'll absorb better. So whole foods supplement. I really like Garden of Life, but also I believe New Chapters has that as well.
Okay. Thank you. That's always something that I like to learn as well, because you don't want people to just go, okay, I need vitamins and minerals, and they run off and buy
everything,
some kind of no name multivitamin, multi mineral, whatever, and think that they're doing themselves a favor, right? So
yes. So vitamin C is very, is your adrenal's best friend on that note. And you want to make sure you have a B complex, a vitamin D and a magnesium. All vitamins are key, but those are really key ones for your adrenals, especially the vitamin C, which just a little fun fact, guinea pigs and human beings are the only animals that cannot produce their own vitamin C. Everybody else makes their own vitamin C in their body. So we don't make our own vitamin C. We have to get it from food or supplements, and we're probably not getting enough from food. So.
Yeah. I don't know if we're getting enough of anything from food.
We're not getting enough of anything from food, but at least the other vitamins, some of them you can sort of make in your body, but you don't make vitamin C. So.
Yeah. Okay. So another topic is you talked about the fact that, you know, what did you say? Going to bed tired, but wired.
Yes.
So which really luckily doesn't resonate with me. Like, I'm a good sleeper.
You're but so lucky.
I am, but I also don't always have, you know, the how do I put it? The energy throughout my day. Like, I'm a morning person. So I wake up like, woo, let's start the day.
Yeah.
But come, you know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, unfortunately, that's when I start to fade. And I typically go for food to distract myself and whatever. So how do we focus more on, like, maybe keeping that energy level a little bit more strong through the day to be able to avoid that distraction or whatever?
Mm-hmm. Well, it definitely starts with a strong breakfast. So you want to aim for 25 to 30 grams of protein, which sounds like a lot, but if you add a protein shake, it helps. So you really want to have a high protein breakfast. You don't want to be grabbing a bagel and a donut and coffee as your first meal of the day. I mean, you can definitely have coffee with your breakfast. I'm just putting that combination together because that's the typical, because then you're setting yourself up for a spike and a crash, and then you're going to have more cravings for sugar and caffeine throughout the day because that's, how you started your day off. So having high protein and healthy fats for your breakfast is really important, and taking that throughout the day with your snacks. So, you know, even if you're having a sweet tooth and you have an apple with a handful of nuts, is better than grabbing a chocolate bar. Also making sure that you're not letting yourself get too hungry, because if you get too hungry, you're going to grab whatever you can to boost that energy back up. I would also recommend trying to stop drinking coffee at around 1 o'clock if you can. And those things will definitely make a big difference. So instead of breakfast literally means breaking your fast. So you have been fasting all night. So you want to make sure the first thing you put in your body is not dumping it with sugar. That's really important.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
And also stay hydrated. Because remember, also, you're losing a lot of water when you sleep. And throughout the day, you're using up water. A lot of people go to food first, but I'm like, go to water first. Always go to water first and see if that helps. Because chances are you're dehydrated.
So if somebody wanted to, like, learn more about themselves and how you could potentially help them, mm-hmm. where would they be able to find information about you?
So they can go to www.mindfulnourishment.ca. So mindfulnourishment.ca. There's all these information about the packages I offer. I offer some general packages. And then I have specific packages that are 8-week programs that deal with adrenal fatigue, mental wellness. And then I have the food addictions binge eating program. So the details on there, you'll find those on the website. So I give complimentary 20 to 30 minute consultations so we can see where you fit in and how much time I think you'll initially need to be working with me, which is flexible. Obviously we can add on time if we need to. And then I'd like to give you a few nuggets of stuff to take away, as you're thinking about if you want to work with me or not. I also have a free gift on there. Speaking of energy, it's a high energy recipe book that I've created, which is free. All you have to do is go to my homepage and opt in for my newsletter and you get the recipe book for free. Also being on the newsletter, you get some exclusive content and specials that I don't usually share out anywhere else. So And then, you know, if you're annoyed with me, you can always unsubscribe at any time.
I have to say, I did sign up for the newsletter and I got my recipe book, and I have to say there's some pretty good looking stuff on there. So I'm going to definitely dive into that and make a couple. What was the one I saw? Some kind of pudding that looked amazing.
Yeah, I think I know the one you're talking about. That's a, oh my God, chia puddings are like my go-to. Chia is so good for you.
Yeah, I love it too. Awesome. Okay, so before I let you go, I have to ask all my guests, if you could give somebody who's ready to take their business to the next level one piece of advice, what would you suggest?
Just start, just do it, and the path will unfold. Don't spend too much time in the thinking phase and the research phase, which is, research is important. I think if you just dive in, the next step or the next thing will show up for you. And what you thought you believed in and were passionate about may not even be that once you start working on it. So I don't know if that's more advice for starting out or taking it to the next level, but I think either way, surrender, be open, go with the flow, and just start. Just do the first step towards that.
Yes. Thank you. I love that. That's like one of my favorite answers. And I think that's true though, right? I mean, I think with anything, like even with, like, say, you know, deciding whether to call a coach and ask for help, you know, people get stuck and they like overthink it. And I don't know. And, you know, same thing with business is like, well, I don't know if I should or not. And, you know, I think that's just really good advice for so many areas of our life, is if you're thinking that you should do something, you should just do it.
Right? Yeah. Right? And you know what, over educating, I don't know if that's quite the right word, but
I almost take offense to that.
No, I don't mean over-educating. No, because you can't over-educate. I'm talking about, but it can be an addiction when you're using research and stuff as your, I'm not going to start my business until I know X, Y, and Z. And I feel like some people use that as an addiction as well.
Yeah, if that makes sense. I totally understand that. I actually know a few people.
Yeah, I don't know.
I used to be that way myself a little bit. It's like that fear. It's that imposter syndrome or whatever, right? It's that, well, I don't know enough yet, or this other person knows more, and I can't compete, so I got to go take another degree or another certification. No, you don't.
No, self-help is an addiction too. It's a healthier one, but it's an addiction as well.
Absolutely. Oh, Nabila, thank you so much. It's about time we did this. Yay. So thank you for reaching out and being ready to jump in with me. And I really enjoyed this, and I would love to have you back. I would love to have us, you know, pick a subject and come back and take a deeper dive. Cause I really feel like, you know, we just barely grazed the surface. And so, awesome.
Yes. I had a great time, and I hope that your listeners got some good nuggets out of that. But again, if they have any questions, definitely book a complimentary consult with me and we can go over stuff.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
And get the recipe book. You'll love it.
Get the recipe book. Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.